be fine. The prophet is here, Daddy K. You're ready for your own church.
Peace be unto you, my brother.
Love it, love it. I love it, I love it. Are you all set for tomorrow?
Ah,
champion.
Two set.
Champion.
Two set.
Water is wet.
Charlie. Charlie. Oh, Charlie.
Ah, guys. So that's that. Ajutamaklu. Actually, they say you know the when they look at the graphic, you look like the odd one out. Because that in case that like, you know
when you
say you are not a youngie.
Someone yesterday someone told me that when you line up all the men of spirit, you know, like the associate pastor,
that's right,
the senior pastor,
that's right,
and all of them, and then you put the treasurer in their mix.
That's a good one.
That's what I was, that's what I look like on
you
there.
Look like the one in charge of the money.
And I said, so long as we can keep the church running,
that's all,
that is all,
that's what matters. So do make a date with them tomorrow morning and every other Saturday at 8 a.m. They have that brand new show for you, Prime Source Extra, where everything is extra, really. The extra is you. We put the extra in you. Extra fun, extra guests, extra sports, extra everything, really. Extra surprises, extra giveaways, and what have you. So it's gonna be fun. That's our first Saturday show here at Joy Sports. Actually, our first weekend TV show. Am I right?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Amazing. It had to happen. It didn't sound right that we didn't.
Long overdue. Overdue.
That is right. Thank you very much. Odifo, prophet. All right. On our menu today, we'll be joined by another Osofo, right? Another Odifo. Nimdie. Wait, how do you say Professor Enchi?
Well, I mean, I don't know. You didn't watch my face. Come and tell us the thing you did.
Professor Enchi. You don't know how to say you. Are you not you? Are you not from Eastern Region? You Danigi. Are you not?
Abeku. How did they say that thing?
Abeku how say it.
What does he mean?
Abeku, come and say it. Come.
Oh, it's
and say
I think it's Nimdeo.
No, Nimdeo is knowledge.
Oh, yeah. Dana professor, no, you're knowledgeable.
Oh, but those on the space to help us.
I mean, I know I'm not wrong. I think it's like among the three of us, I'm the only one who lived in Kumasi. Danny K, your hometown, I don't think you've been there in the last 15 years.
I was there when? I was there in November. She.
Aha, uh-huh, I found it. Somebody just helped me. Oh, Benfo!
Abeku
came to correct me.
And
he, came to tell, he said I should put the mic over. I put the mic over. Hey. You are correct. You are correct. Say no more, boy.
Abeku. Abeku the life ass.
Hey, Abeku. All right. Obenfo Dr. Asamoajan is our guest today.
Quick.
All that just to say that Asamoajan is joining us this afternoon on the show. Garnet's all-time top scorer, the Baby Jets. He'll be here to talk all about the original games, the campaign he's championing. We promised him all the support, so we'll be here for him. And of course, he will have some thoughts to share on the Black Star squad, Otuado's press conference, happened yesterday, which will be our biggest topic of the day, as well as House of Folk's impending relegation. Sorry, the relegation battle. Let me put it that way. If I say impending relegation, House of Folk fans will come and beat me. It's not looking good. Ajutamaklu has been keeping tabs on what's happening with the club, how they found themselves here. Second season in a row, House of Folk are battling relegation with three games to the end of the season. I think last season they survived in the last by one game or the last game of the season. For a club that usually should be competing for the title, how did they find themselves here? They have a crucial game today against Nations FC. If they don't pick up all 3 points, realistically, House of Folk could be relegated because their other three matches, they have 3 matches remaining. This one against Nations FC. If they don't win this one, their next two are even harder. After that, they play Great Olympics in Accra. Olympics themselves are not safe. They are battling relegation as well. So, it really could be a winner takes all when those two meet after this game, if Hearts of Oak don't pick up all 3 points. Because Hearts of Oak's last game of the season is away at Bochum United. So it's a very, very tricky situation Ouattara and his boys find themselves. So we'll talk about that, the Ghana Premier League, as far as the relegation and even the league title contest is concerned as well, because I guarantee you, we've been working the mathematics and we can tell you that Samatex will be champions this weekend. Samatex will be champions this weekend if they can match the results of their closest contenders. And their closest contenders are Medeama Energana. They are 6 points behind Samatex with 3 games to go. The 3 games to go are 9 points. They have a 6-point lead. If they can match the results of the two chasing teams, they will be champions of the Ghana Premier League. Samatex, only their second season in the Ghana Premier League, on fan seat, play their home matches in Samraboy, will be champions of the Ghana Premier League this weekend if they can match the results of the chasing park. So if Medeama win and Ejana win and Samatex also win, Samatex will be champions. The only way Samatex, in fact, there's only one way Samatex will not be champions this weekend. That is if they don't win. Because if they win, it doesn't matter if Medeama win and Ejana win, they will be champions. So they just have to win. They have better head-to-head than those two.
Yeah, but they could even be champions if they don't win.
If they don't win.
Yeah. And if they don't, let's say if they the draw.
Others, yes, and the others lose.
Draw. Yeah, draw or lose, they are still champions.
That's right. Wow. We really are at the tail end of the season, aren't we? Amazing stuff. So all of that's to come. Let's hear from you. The show is live on X Spaces. We see you tuning in. Big guys, all of you. Thank you for always listening to the show. Va X, I see Kojoda Koya Obing, Belgium AFTV, Top Gun, Shakoban. Scroll up, I want to mention more names on the people who are on the space. So thank you all for listening. We're also live on the YouTube channel of Joy FM. So just go to Joy 99.7 FM on YouTube, you'll find us there. Think we are streaming on Facebook as well. The show is proudly brought to you, of course, by Patrosol. Patrosol, your fuel in full quantity. Okay, Patrosol, your clean fuel in full quantity. Patrosol is always a delightful experience. And we'll tell you more about Patrosol a little later. If you have opinions on the Black Star squad, which we will delve into very shortly, let's hear from you. Use the hashtag GamePlan on X or on Twitter. And then we'll read and share your thoughts with the rest of Ghanaians. Also, if you prefer WhatsApp, the number is 055-1111997. 055-1111997. Otuado's press conference is where we will start from today on the show. Okay, so he named the 26-man squad. Let me just go through the squad very quickly before we pick on some issues that he addressed at that press conference. He's named 3 goalkeepers, Lawrence Atizigi, Joseph Wallacourt, and Frederick Asari. Asante Kotoko's goalkeeper, who, by the way, is also the only local player in the team. He has named 2 left backs, Gideon Mensah and Ebenezer Annan. He's named 3 right backs in Tariq Lamte. Sorry, 2 right backs in Tariq Lamte and Ali Diseidu. He's also named 3 centre backs, Alexander Juku. Sorry, 4 centre backs, Alexander Juku, Abdul Momin, Jerome Opoku, and Mohamed Salisu are the centre backs that have been named. 4 centre backs: Salisu, Jerome Opoku, Abdul Momin, and Alexander Juku. So 3 goalkeepers, 2 right backs, 2 left backs, 4 centre backs. He's named 8 midfielders. And the 8 midfielders are Mohamed Kudus, Enes Nyama, Salis Abdul Samet, Ibrahim Sulemana, making his debut, getting his debut call up. Plays for Cagliari in the Italian Serie A. He's a holding midfielder. Thomas Partey, Edmond Addo is also been named. Elisha Owusu, League 2 champion, alongside Gideon Mensah, he's also been named. Abu Francis has also been named. So, 8 midfielders. And then, he's got... what now? He's got 7 attackers. Those 7 attackers are Osman Bukhari, Abdel Fattah Ishahaku, Antoine Semenyo, Jordan Ayew, Ibrahim Osman, not to be confused with Osman Bukhari, or not to be confused with Ibrahim Sulemana. So there's Ibrahim Osman and there's Ibrahim Sulemana. Then you have an Osman Bukhari and an Osman Ibrahim. There's Kamal Dean Sulemana, not to be confused with Ibrahim Sulemana. Then Brandon Thomas Asante, also getting his debut call up. So 2 debutants, or 2 players receiving their very first call up. Knowing the Black Stars, a call up does not translate automatically into making a debut. It's happened many times in the past. So that's the squad. And Otto has been addressing a number of issues, as you might have heard, or should probably know by now. The most conspicuous name missing in the list is the captain, Andre Ayew, who has been having a stellar last few months for Le Havre in the French Ligue 1. He's scoring goals, he's playing consistently, but he's been left out of the squad, which gave reasons for many people to believe that it was not necessarily about performance. But let me not be the one to explain. Otuado was asked that question. Why did he drop Andre Ayew from the team despite his impeccable performances at club level over the last few months? And this is what Otuado told the press.
So I had a long talk with Andre, personal. I visited him and gave him the reasons why he's not in the squad. I usually held it like this, that I don't talk too much about the players who are not in the squad, more about those who are in the squad. And for me, I can say I don't like I talk to players directly. I don't like to give information out about what we spoke about. He's not part of the squad at the moment. It was a difficult decision, to be honest, because I like him. I like him as a person, and also as a player. But this is the decision we took, and it's not like we totally agreed, but I give him the explanation, and so I don't want to take it to another extent and say some things that people will write about and this and that. I know it's difficult maybe for you as a press to understand this, but I don't want to make it bigger than it is.
Okay, so that's Otuado. He said he had a very long conversation, and we can now tell you that Otuado drove there from Germany, 6 hours on the road, to go and speak to Andre Ayew. And one thing that you also might have heard from there, he said Andre did not agree with his decision, but it was his decision and he made it. So in other words, of course, Andre didn't understand why he was being dropped. The coach said, okay, I get your grievance, but it's still my decision. You're getting dropped. And he dropped him. That was not the only talking point from that presser. He was also asked about Babar Rahman, who has also had an impeccable season. I remember he opted out of the AFCON squad because he said he needed to deal with personal issues. We know he was booed the last time he played for the Black Stars, jeered. He didn't take it well. Now, Otto has revealed further details And he says he desperately wanted Baba Rahman in the squad. He even offered to come and speak to him, come and meet him, fly to him in Greece. And he said, don't come. Don't fly here because that's not going to make me change my mind.
I've seen his performance. I've talked to him. But at the moment, he's not ready to come back. I don't know exactly what he experienced with the national team, but maybe I want to take this opportunity also to indicate that every one of us has a high responsibility. Surely it affected him and his family. I think we as human beings can do better than doing such things for somebody who's giving his best for his nation. We have a lot of players who are sacrificing a lot. It's not good enough, and this is not my responsibility. It's all of our responsibility, especially the media. And in this case, I think we would have needed him very, very much. I had a long talk with him. I even wanted to fly to his place to talk to him, but he was very, very sure that he won't come at this moment of time. He won't come back. And it's very, very sad that it's our fault that he's not coming back.
Okay, so that's Otuado. Also using that opportunity to caution the fans against personal abuse of players. Baba Rahman clearly still feels that he's not recovered fully from the events of the last time he played for the national team. So he's continuing to stay away from the team. Will the team miss him? Is quite another completely different question. Does he have qualities that this team would have needed to beat Mali? The same question can be said of Andre Ayew. Are these big omissions? Now, the last piece of auto audio I will play has him talking about what he can promise the Ghanaian people. He says he cannot promise victories. What he can promise and guarantee is good football. And it is his hope that the good football will bring the victories in the end.
In the long-term process, what I want to be assessed should be the way we play. The way we play. I know we, like human beings, we can't be perfect all the time, but I want us to be brave, to play good football. And this is where you can judge me on. And at the end, I'm a strong believer that in long-term, if you play good football, it will benefit and the results will also come. And surely at the end, it's a result sport and I'll be judged. I will be judged by the results, 100%. And my contract goes 2.5 years. And after that, I will be judged. And hopefully we win a lot of games so that the judgments are not that hard.
All right. So hopefully we win a lot of games where the judgment is not that harsh. That's Otuado. So he says, judge him by the performance, by the quality of football he plays, by the culture that he builds in this team. So there's a lot to unpack as far as this press conference and this squad is concerned. Daniel was the one at the press conference, so I'm going to start with him. Daniel, there's a lot of topic to touch on. But bring some clarity into some of the things that came out of that press conference for me. The impression of the team, some of the more topical issues out of that presser.
Before Daniel, though, maybe he would give us the news from Bangkok. And then
give the thing. Let's go.
Oh, you mean the boxers who are fighting for Olympic qualification?
Yes. So yesterday we told you Theophilus Kwakwaletse was just too wins away from securing Olympic qualification.
Yeah.
Well, that has ended because in the round of 16 bout today, he's lost via a split decision to China's... Oh,
come on, man.
China's...
He lost to a Chinese boxer?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Nah, I just clarified.
Yeah.
So the Ghanaian boxer from Bukom lost to a Chinese boxer.
Yeah.
Hey, Daniki. Hey. Would you behave yourself?
Yo, but I think I'll be scary.
You don't know it's...
Please.
Like, I'm just trying to figure out what we are doing wrong. How are Ghanaian boxers losing to Chinese boxers? What, have you ever seen a Chinese boxer?
The Chinese boxers, they are not human beings.
Yeah. if you say that one more time. One more time.
So that was a men's flyweight.
You are not deep in it. You are not deep in it.
If you say that one more
China
time.
China is the home of combat sport too.
Yeah.
I didn't say that. I so said if boxer.
Yes. So if they've decided to take boxing serious.
Hold on. Do you know Chinese boxing world champion?
No.
What?
So but it doesn't mean, it doesn't, you see, there, some countries don't pay attention to certain things. But if they decide to, and that's what we are seeing. Don't be surprised that the Chinese, look at the technical qualities they have across combat sports. If they decide that you want to be serious.
To be fair, the surprise is not more of the fact that a Chinese beat him. The surprise is more of a fact that he lost to a Chinese.
Ah, okay. I get you. I get you.
You get my point. So what? Actually, we have only one boxer left after the seven.
Yeah. So this was a men's flyweight contest, and the guy's name is Chuang Liu, the Chinese who defeated.
Chuang Liu.
Chuang Liu.
Chuang Liu. Yes. I'm going to try to spell that name.
Okay.
Start with the O. Oh, okay. I said I. Okay. And then you start spelling. What is this? Okay. What kind of teacher is that?
It's okay. It's okay. Please proceed.
I'm going to start with the last name. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you it's L-I-U.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah.
Now, Chuan, it starts with an X.
No. It's actually C-H.
Oh, that sounds a bit... Okay.
It's not true. That's Achu's own spelling.
You bab! If it's you try, it should be X-U-A-N-G.
And C-H will be what?
C-H will be English people spelling of the Chuan. Right?
This guy, okay, you're not experiencing
this.
So we have one fighter left.
Yes, the Dr. Onela Sathut. She's in action tomorrow. So,
hey, you see, on a more serious note,
so all the men are out.
Champion. On a more serious,
men are scum.
Two of them. Say that again.
Men are scum.
two of them were kicked out in the first round.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Then another two in the second round.
Then two.
And then two.
No,
remaining two. No. One was kicked out in the third round.
Yes.
And then Alote went to the last two rounds.
Yeah. So that's third round.
Yes.
He's also out in the third round.
Two, two, two.
Yes.
Every round, two men.
Two exits.
Damn.
And you know, I was going to say that there's one thing that we have blamed the sports ministry for so long, and that is their lack of support for all these other sporting disciplines. When it comes to these boxers, we have given them three opportunities. Amateur boxing. And they've not managed to qualify a single boxer to the games. The conditions can be questionable. We can raise questions even around their preparations. But the fact that they've also been to three different competitions. And this is boxing, where we have what Honorable Nilante Van Der Poel said the last time, a natural predisposition. Mm-hmm. And we've had three chances to qualify and we've blown every single one of them. I am very disappointed. And if I worked at the sports ministry, I would look at that and I would believe it. Because they went to Senegal. This is the African qualifiers fighting against fellow Africans.
But that was the easiest opportunity.
They blew it. Not one qualifier. And they went there with 12 athletes, I believe.
Yeah.
12 boxers. Mm-hmm. Then we gave them another opportunity to go to Italy. They went to Italy. How many did they take there? 8 or so. Certain, just before the African Games.
Yeah.
In fact, they were there at the start of the African Games. Mm-hmm. Because the boxing event at the African Games started a little later in the competition. So they came back in the middle of the African Games with nothing. They came to win 5 gold medals. Or is it 4? Nonetheless, at the African Games. And I'm thinking, how did you not? And in the African Games, I don't know if the ones who beat them to qualification in Senegal were not at the African Games or what. Because how are these boxers who went to Senegal and got beat are here in Accra dominating their divisions and winning gold and somehow never found it important to beat somebody and secure qualification.
What is important? It was important.
But I think they didn't want to win.
Even took Freezy McBones to Senegal. After they beat him, he came by, he said the qualifier, he won't try again.
Simple.
Because he realized that the thing is not going to work out.
It's not.
Then we took, and Tamo Techi didn't go to Senegal. Then he too, he came back and told us that he, you know, right now he's ready. He's going to Italy to secure Olympic qualification. He went to Italy, didn't get the qualification, came back, won Africa Games gold, and said the qualification he would do again.
Simple.
So he also didn't go for this very one in Thailand. Mm. And we took Commonwealth Games medalists.
Silver medalists.
To Thailand. They were in Senegal too. And they were in Italy. And not one Olympic qualification.
At least he got a bye in his first bout. And then
won the next one, then lost the next one.
Yeah.
Bottom line.
I mean, hold on. Am I being unreasonably harsh? Or do I have reason to be concerned?
No, you have reasons to be concerned. No, but we are a boxing nation. And we are going into the Olympics with zero boxes.
With zero boxes? No, it's done.
But why are you writing Onela?
Sorry, we apologize.
No, the men. Yeah.
You said men are scum.
Oh, men are scum.
We are going, especially, and you see the disappointment of Ghana, especially on the back of a first Olympic
medal since when?
1972.
Damn.
Tokyo. So you would have expected that after Samotechi won Ghana's first medal
at the Olympics
since 72, we would have built on it. We've gone 1,000 steps back.
So context to the conversation.
The context is that
build on it. How? What did we do since?
No, it's expected to.
Expected to.
Uh-huh. So that is what will now put you in the position to have those expectations, right? Based on what you have done. How much you have put into it. Now, friends, and all of us here have covered boxing pretty extensively. Your knowledge of the IBA certified instructors or trainers we have in Ghana, as at the time Kome won his silver medal from the Commonwealth Games, has that number increased?
No.
So, and that is directly associated to the quality of trainers and the quality of training our boxers receive. Right. And for me, the fact that we could not hack that, the fact that we've not had enough quality trainers to add value to these boxes and essentially guide them in the right direction and also find a structure that allows our boxers to go out there. And by the time they step out there, they are properly seasoned. Mm-hmm. The guy who beats Joseph Kome, Emilio Garcia, when I look at Garcia's body of work, I did not expect that he would get the better of him. Right? Mm-hmm. But if you compare his body of work to what we have down here, it will make sense. But if you compare their numbers to the Cuban, Mexican, even these days the Chinese boxers, at that age, he has about 63 bouts at the top level under their belt. Mm-hmm. How many or how many did his contemporaries have at the time they stepped into the ring there?
Some way.
So those are the things that will tell you that, okay, we have a chance of qualifying. So when we come and sit here and we hear that, the guy has been beaten. So the 45 to 50 bouts that he won, about a quarter or half of them or whatever it is, what was the quality of those fights? What was the quality of those preparations? If there is something, I'm just saying that if you have your trainers in place, if you've got quality preparations, if you've got boxers who are exposed and have been competing against elite level boxers, then you can question what went wrong, because then you must have checked all of the boxes. If you look through the boxers that we sent to Bangkok, Danny, a good number of them are professionals who could not make the grade at the professional level, and then they dropped into the amateur ranks. Majority of them. Professionals who could not make the grade at the professional level, and then they dropped into the amateur ranks. So it would be easier for them to come to the African Games and be creeping the boys there and then pick the medals and go.
Okay, that makes sense.
So Henry Mao.
Yeah.
Joseph Kome. Even our man who decided that he's not going to Bangkok itself, Samuel Deji. Mm-hmm. He dropped from the professional ranks into amateur. That's how come he came to the African Games. Because if you have 8 professional bouts or more, you are no longer eligible to fight in the amateur ranks.
I get that too, but I was just saying that it's the same thing. He's the same professional who dropped to the amateur, went to Italy and got beat.
Exactly. So the real shame lies in the fact that you are a failed professional. You are supposed to be relatively more experienced than some of these boxers, right? And I'm not saying that
the seven less than eight professional bouters he makes.
No, but here's the thing.
He had like three or so.
But friends, not enough. Friends, that is not the sum of all the bouts he's fought since he emerged.
Of course.
So he can have maybe about 40 bouts under his belt.
Even if
five of them are professional,
he's allowed to lose. Don't do that. He's allowed to lose.
But we're having this conversation because of the losses that have come.
All right. So listen, actually, I know this is a conversation that we can have more extensively. And you followed these boxers for a long time, especially in the build up to the African Games. And since then, you've covered them extensively. So I respect and I value the perspective you bring into this. The disappointment on the surface of it, though, is clear. And is that we're going to the Olympic Games without a single male boxer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and on the back of a first Olympic medal since 72 in boxing, there was expectation that we would have built on that. Now the evidence is clear that we did not. And for me, that's a big, big disappointment.
To everyone listening there, pay attention to the images Joy Sports has been posting since the tournament began,
right?
And see where the Ghanaian boxers appear to be training.
Yeah,
it'll give you a sense of the conditions that they are working with.
So, what, they just bought them plane tickets and that's the end of it?
But for the African Games, we saw the place where they were training.
The African Games story is another matter. The Ghanaian athletes were not even in the Games Village. I think you know this, right? They were,
yeah,
the typical Ghanaian people, right? Let's treat the foreigners better than our own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When we finish, let's demand medals.
Danike, let's go back to that last hour's conversation. Bring some clarity into a lot of the issues that have emerged since that presser.
Look, overall, I think it was a good event. I think the mood set by the communications department or Towado, I liked it. For a very long time, we've not had something like this. And for them to open up, remember there was talk in the days before the announcement was made that he was going to meet the press. There was talk about where is the squad, where is he? But the communication was that he arrived in Ghana on Monday. And remember, since he was announced head coach, he has not been in Ghana.
Yeah.
He went straight to Morocco to meet the team for the two friendlies against Uganda and Nigeria in March. And then went back to Germany. Now his contract is ended with Dortmund. This is the first time he is returning to Ghana since his appointment. So it was important from the FA communication point of view for him to meet the press. But in doing that, they felt that if he was going to be in town, then he might as well just name the squad himself. So they were basically waiting for him to come to Ghana so that they could schedule the press conference. And that is why the squad delayed. So... Okay. I mean, I think that made sense. So, talking about what happened on the day, for me, the main thing that struck me and what I really appreciated from Otuado's communication was his identifying that the current culture in the Black Stars is something that needs to be fixed. Nobody will come and tell you that they are trying to change something or trying to fix something if the thing is not broken. So... we've often heard stories about what goes on in camp, how toxic the Black Stars camp has become in recent years. And Otuado said, in response to the question I asked him, based on the parameters he wants to be judged by, he said that when he leaves, he wants to leave a much better culture of work ethic, discipline, and then also prepare a team or build a team that plays good football, good attractive football that will hopefully yield the result. So for me, that culture aspect is very important, because you see, when you build the right culture around the team, it has a direct influence on results on the pitch and how they even assimilate instruction, their understanding of the tasks, their understanding of wearing the jersey. If you're able to build that right culture around them, you will see the benefits on the pitch.
What is the biggest cultural decadence in the Black Stars?
There, at least from where I sit,
uh-huh,
I think that too many people have power in the camp. So there's no discipline, there's no respect. There's no one leader. There's not one person who is steering affairs. So
it's,
I can be taken...
It's is that okay? You go on for me.
That's perhaps
the make that point for me.
That's perhaps the best summary I've heard anyone give.
Yes, I was. You go on.
What I'm trying to say is, typical example: we are all sitting in this room, okay? We know who our boss is,
yes.
But yet, I'll probably be taking direct instruction from you, Fent. Atu is taking it from somebody else. So when we get on, or when we meet as a group, we are not of the same mind. Everybody is coming there with his different, with a different mindset. Everybody is coming there with different ambitions. Some people understand why they are there. Some don't understand why they are there. And it's just complete chaos because the authority is not properly streamlined. And I think for him to identify it, and that is also because he's been there before. So he has experienced it and he's come back to tell us that is something he needs to fix. For me, I appreciate it because, you see, we've had most coaches come in and then they dance around the issues and try and make it look like what is happening in campus is okay, and it's okay for them to work with, and then only for them to get fired or for them to resign, then they come and tell us stories. Me, if you do that, I'll not believe you. So I like what Otto has done. He has spoken about the need to cure the culture in the team. And that for me is extremely important. Now, we can zoom into the squad itself. When I look at the squad and then the biggest news around the squad.
There's also a big, and I think one phrase that has to be used in all of what you said, very related to what you said, is that there is a big culture of shaking responsibility
in
the Black Stars team. That's what you meant by there is not a unity of purpose, right? It's like everybody comes there with their own interest. And for me, I think it's something that is very evident, not just in the results, but also the way they play. Mm-hmm. There are too many individual players who come into the national team and put up really awful performances and then hiding behind a couple of other few guys to take the bashing so that they can go scot-free. Mm-hmm. So nobody's really owning up and standing and taking the responsibility. Yeah. And I dare say that maybe in the last few years, the only players who have really stuck their neck out and taking a bashing, a beating in the national team in the face of poor performances, maybe Jordan Ayew, Baba Rahman, Andre Ayew, pretty much everybody else. People have been accused of hiding in the national team many times. Mm-hmm. It's time for every individual player to stand up and take responsibility when things haven't gone right. It can't only always be about the praises when things go right. What about taking responsibility when things go wrong? Like we saw, for example, Kudus Mohammed at the last AFCON. We had a really poor AFCON. He was the only one not afraid to come in there and sit there and face the press and answer questions. That's responsibility.
Yeah.
It's something Andre would do. He's done it many times, you know. So the rest of the other young players that are in there, and Otto clearly looks like he's building a new young team, and he wants to build a new culture. That new culture has to be that everybody has to stick their necks out and take responsibility. And I'm not just talking about responsibility when it comes to accepting blame, but responsibility on the pitch.
Yeah, and you see that comes with understanding the reason why you are
the
there.
The essence
of the jersey you are wearing.
You saw the game against Comoros.
Yeah,
how the goal was scored. It's everybody backing away. Nobody is committing.
Not even the. What happened in the aftermath of the game, on the flight back, is just a clear.
What happened?
It's a sort of incident that...
What happened?
Can we see it?
Yes. You can say it. They were a reliable source.
Yes. They were on the plane coming back after we had lost against Comoros.
That's right.
Ghanaians, I'm speaking to you.
Yes.
They were on the plane. Some people, the boys at the back, were playing ludo and playing music and laughing and dancing.
After a defeat
to Comoros. Because it's funny. They were laughing and giggling and kicking because they know that three players will be insulted, the rest of them they will go scot free.
That's the culture that Otto has to change.
Wants
to change.
So the boss got up and he said, "Hey, do you people understand what it means to lose to Comoros if you are a Blasters player? Come on, pack that Ludu over there and keep quiet and stop playing the fool over there.
You mean another player said this?
Another player to them. And then the flight, all the place became quiet. Boko, like, the coach, he was sitting there, he didn't say anything.
That's crazy
that
too,
yeah, the coach was sitting there, he was sad, so he didn't say anything. But they blasted the boys at the back. And the flight became quiet. And then people started thinking, hey, does it have to take somebody in the team to tell you that when you lose to Comoros, you are not reflecting on the nonsense you went to play? It's funny, you are laughing, you are playing Ludu. They are playing Ludu. And when I say the flight to Comoros, they lost that evening. So literally just a few hours after the game, they were on the flight coming back. And then that nonsense happened. But this story just shows you the sort of culture that is there in the Black Stars. And you talk about it, the lack of responsibility. And that's because they don't understand. You see, when you don't, they see it as it's a favor.
Yeah.
Like they are celebrities.
There really are no consequences for failing.
At all. So if you go, you play, we don't win, we lose, whatever. He goes, by all means, you get a call up, he comes back, we move. But that understanding of the jersey, those times maybe just go when they go play Blasters, when they go lose, you think maybe just go laugh for the plane inside? Eh? Do you think Baby Jet and...
Don't speak for him. Ladies and gentlemen, Baby Jet
is here. Do you think funny?
Baby Jet is here. Baby Jet is here. Baby, eh?
Baby, eh? Baby, simple question. For you. Those times, for you. When the Black Stars suffered defeat and it rarely happened, were you both laughing in the plane or the bus when you were? Was it funny?
Sometimes, you know, sometimes it's how the game goes.
You know, sometimes you can suffer a painful defeat.
Yeah.
Which, in the football world, we do understand. Maybe we feel like, okay, we had 30 shots on goal. And then they just had one. You know, sometimes you'll be very upset.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the masses will understand, those who watch the game at that time.
Yeah.
You know, but it depends about the character. Because somebody like me, if I don't score a goal and I come home, not even a pin, have to drop.
Everybody has to be quiet. So that you can reflect on what happened.
Yeah, so...
Have you seen that
somebody has got a mindset that okay, he'll take the lead and console everybody,
mm-hmm.
you know, and somebody can also try and crack jokes, you know, for the
spirit, lift the mood.
To lift the mood. Mm-hmm. Somebody can also take it personal,
yeah,
because I know certain players that if you lose a match, hey, you can't even talk to them, so it comes with the character, you know. The, It depends on how the game goes. For example, if I'm a leader and we go to a game,
yeah,
and then we are losing, and you see people walking, you know, you don't give the fans something to talk about, or just give your best,
yeah.
You know, give your best and take the 6-0 you want, but let the people see you are doing something. That I won't take it.
Mm.
That one. Personally, I won't take it.
In fact, friends, I want to ask him a question.
Go ahead.
Was there ever a time in when you were with the Black Stars that when you go on the pitch, you guys know that, okay, if we lose, there are certain players who take the blame. So there are some people who are, they know that if we win 5-0, nobody will say he did well, he did bad. There are no consequences. So let's say you, if we lost, you know that people will come for you if we lost. Or you and Andrea, some of the senior guys in there, was that sense of that thinking in the camp?
Yeah, it's a natural thing. It's obvious, you know. Even people around knows it. Like, you have to face the consequences.
Mm.
The coach, the head coach, the captain, or maybe the talisman at that time, or the star man at that time. You know, definitely you take the blame, or you have to take that responsibility to cover up this young players, you know, to put that confidence. You know, when you are there, and for example, your son does something, you have to take the responsibility and then make sure they are okay, because they are coming up. So it's a normal thing for me.
Friends, I have a question. While we're on that theme, I think the last two tournaments that the Black Stars have played, there's been instances where some players were seen on the eve of the pre-tournament camp in certain public places where their night's life was called into question. For we are not professional footballers. We are fans. We are journalists. And
you can tell by your stomach. You don't need to tell us.
We are not comfortable when we see those things.
Yeah.
Because presumably, if it happens at club level, at least for club preseason, there is a week or a few weeks where you can get into shape before the main action starts.
Yeah.
In the national team, there is not that much time, turnaround time to recover.
Like 2-3 days and then you go to
and
camp.
You have to go. Mm. Is that a behavior that we are right to call us when we see it, or
we are being too harsh?
We are being too harsh.
For me, it depends on any individual. Don't forget, he's also human. He has to live his normal life like the way everybody does. You know, somebody can choose to don't care what people will say and go, because the person feel like, okay, I need people around me, I need the atmosphere just to boost my spirit. You know, sometimes when you are in the room or something, you face depression sometimes. For example, me, I can be in the room for 1 year, you know, but somebody feels like, okay, but when you're under contract, you are playing for the club match week, during the week, if you choose to go outside after 12, because it's in your contract, after 12 a.m., then it's at your own risk. But after the game, whether win or lose, it depends. You know, if you lose, the fans will be angry.
Yeah.
So you decide whether you go for the bashing or you stay at home or you don't care. So for me, that all is about timing. All is about timing.
That's right. So you have to get the. You see, sometimes the atmosphere is such. You have to read the room.
Read the room.
Yeah.
You have to read the room and know when to react.
Because it's logic. You know, you lose maybe. Harshly, you lose like woefully, and then okay, you say, let me go out. Then you are pushing yourself into trouble. So it's logic for me.
Oh, we have not won an AFCON. So, to your specific example, we've not won an AFCON in 40 years. We are about the last AFCON we went to, we got kicked out in the group stage.
Last pick.
Then we are about to go for the next one, and 2 days before we leave for Cote d'Ivoire, you are seen in a bar smoking shisha. That one is your problem. That's what Baby just said. It depends on the individual.
Yes, it depends on the individual.
And also, you have to read the room.
Yes, and one thing, like, sometimes it happens. It's obvious, you know. You go in a game and you see like, hey, you know, now we are there. My poor boy, yeah, you are there, but me, them, you are there. So that one, you can go and claim your fans.
That's true.
Sometimes, it happens. Sometimes it's natural. So
Maybe thanks that you could join us here. We're gonna have a conversation about the all regional games. You've been very busy. You've been very, very busy. I saw that you went close to my hometown. You didn't go that far. You went to Wai. You didn't go to Tumu. You know, I wish you would have gone there. We were having a Black Stars conversation before you walked in. So I want us to just conclude on that and go into details of all the things, all the updates you have for us regarding the original games and what have you. So Daniel was talking to us about his impressions about the press conference. I don't know about you, whether you got a chance to listen to Atado, but Daniel was speaking about one thing that he mentioned a lot, many times. He actually mentioned that many times. He said one of the legacies he wants to leave is a changing culture in the Black Stars. So he said that he used that word at least, if I'm not mistaken, at least 15 times, which points us to the fact that he has seen a cultural issue in the Black Stars. From where you sit, what do you think is the cultural issue Otto might be referring to here?
Cultural issue is I don't.
You don't quite get it.
The cultural issue he's talking about.
Maybe our patcher said the boys, you know, it's like they're not taking enough responsibility. People don't know what it means.
He mentioned work ethic. He mentioned discipline,
like all those things around the team. From where you sit, have you noticed anything like that?
It depends on his game plan, his style,
his perspective,
because if I'm a coach and I come and I say, okay, 6 o'clock, no phones.
Right.
It's you are the coach. They have to do what you want.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you meet halfway, you know, maybe leaders can say, oh, it's too harsh. You know, you limit something for us. And then you can talk about something. It's all about teamwork.
Yeah.
It's not about detecting or something, but you are the coach. Mm-hmm. So if you decide, okay, I don't want this, it's up to the players to abide by it, and he is the coach, so he has to take responsibility.
Mm. I'll ask you about what you make of the squad, but there was something I want to pick on specifics, especially because you're one of those players, probably the most abused player when it comes to the national team. Otuado explained his conversation with Baba Rahman and why he's not in the team. He said he called him, I don't know if you had a chance to listen to that voice, he called him and spoke to him about inviting him, and he even offered to fly to Greece to speak to him to come and play for the national team. Remember, he didn't go to the AFCON, he opted out.
Yeah.
He said Baba told him he shouldn't bother coming because it's not going to change his mind.
Mm.
Then Otto used that as an opportunity to caution the fans and Ghanaians against personal attacks on players. From Baba's point of view, he said it affected his family, it affected you, have suffered the same thing. What is it with this issue of mental health that it doesn't seem like Ghanaians quite understand it? How much does public criticism and ridicule, and in his case booing a national team colors, affect the individual players?
Good question. I've been a victim,
yes,
but how to come back is the problem, you know. I suffered this. The first time was in 2008,
yes,
which I felt wasn't fair, but it depends on the individual. I remember even last time we were training and somebody abused Rich Kingston. He had to even leave the post to go attack. You know, we have to just
really,
yeah,
he left to go and confront the person.
Yeah, to confront
the abuser.
Yeah, but you know, it happens. It depends on the individual, because I feel like I come from a humble home. I have people who understand the game, especially my brother. When I come home, he just say, off the radio, don't listen to anything.
That's right.
Anybody who starts, stop the person, you know. And my best situation, I can be in his shoes.
Yeah.
You know, I always say, if you want to criticize the player with facts.
Thank you.
You were bad, you were doing this game, you were using your passing was very poor, you did this, you did that. You can say whatever you want to say, but if you start bringing family, abusing the person's family, it's like a personal attack.
Yeah.
That is what I'm saying. Say, Obi Akko too bad. Say, what could be a mistake? That.
It's not just
anger.
Performance anymore.
You know, it's personal.
Like, you've lost their money, yeah.
Yeah, you could see it's personal. The person attacking you is personal.
Yeah.
You see, the way the person is talking, it's personal. And this is where sometimes it comes to the territory. We have put our lives down. We have put our everything down. We put ourselves in that position. You know, so sometimes that is where sometimes we also have to psych ourselves that, hey, this job comes to the territory. All these things... You face all these things because you want to play football. You understand?
Yeah.
So Uchua could be if you're a coconut seller, you have to know that one day it can cut you.
That's right.
So all these things, you have to be ready for all these things. And I didn't know this after 2008.
Right.
You know, that was how my brother psyched me. He said, hey, if you want to play football,
you have to be ready for this.
Be ready for all these things. Because you played coast. Close football, the players, the people are around, like very close to the field.
There's no inner perimeter.
Somebody, a fan can even come and
slap you
and go.
I've
so,
witnessed a close game where they threw pepper into a player's eye.
Yeah. So, if you want to be a public figure, or if you are there, you have to expect these things.
Yeah.
You know, but it shouldn't be a personal attack.
Yeah.
Personal attack. You can criticize me, I will accept it, but personal attack.
It's out of the question. Yeah, the English, I think the English idiom for that is that when you pray for the rain, be ready to deal with the mud.
Yeah.
As well. Thank you.
Very important.
Thank you.
You've seen the squad. It looks relatively young. And we have very difficult games against Mali. Our record against Mali, unlike what people actually think, is actually great.
No, but in recent years, we are...
In recent years, where? Friendly match.
Friendly match, youth competitions.
Forget youth competition. Black Stars. Hold on.
It's cool.
Black.
I've scored twice against them.
Thank
you.
Yeah. Let me get this sitting here.
No, I remember the 2017 goal. Jordan crossed.
Listen.
And then the free kick.
Then the free kick too.
When it had mattered most against Mali, we've beaten them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Build up to 2010 World Cup. We went there. We beat them 2-0.
Yeah.
In Bamako, Then we met again in 2012 AFCON. We beat them in the group stage. Third place, we beat them. We lost, fine. 2013, we met them again. Group stages, we beat them. Then third place, we beat them. They beat us, so fine. They can take that. 2017, again.
Tyru. Tyru.
Yes.
Do you see Olili Kingsin in the pool? Do you see Baby Jet up top? Do you see Kuju Asamoah?
Fair enough.
It's a different team.
Okay, fair enough.
Yes, sir.
That's why I was asking Baby Jet. He's seen the squad. We have the history of our recent performances not being great. We have 3 points out of six. We still have 8 matches left. Do you see that we have a good chance against Mali in Bamako? How do we get something out of that game?
Sometimes I feel like being hypocrite when I talk about a team, right? The most difficult thing is to handle a team.
True.
Because of different mentality. If it's like an individual thing, like a boxing, if I'm me personally, with my personality and how I am, if I'm a boxer, I can predict that we may boot around. But a team,
yeah,
you are not in the squad. You see individual players doing well in their clubs.
Yeah.
Great players. But when they come together, that is where you cannot predict. I will speak like a fan, a Ghanaian who is hoping the team to win.
Which is what you are now, basically.
Yes.
Really.
So I can say you're best sure because I support Ghana.
That's right.
But I don't know the caliber of the team, how they are going to perform.
Yeah.
You know, if they prove to us in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games consistently, whether win or lose, like their performance actually we dominated them, but we lost. That one you can have the confidence and say, oh Charlie,
this time, yeah.
But honestly speaking, our performances recently has been
wishy-washy.
Yeah, wishy-washy. So the consistency is the most important thing. So we all have to hope for the best, how they're gonna approach the game in Mali, because we all want Ghana to qualify. People want to see their families in America. So
No, it's a very important matter.
This World Cup, it means more.
The America, the World Cup
destinies are at stake.
True story. The World Cup matter is not about Brazil.
So it depends on
serious matter.
It depends on how we're gonna approach the game. But I think we have a young generation coming. Like if you see these young guys coming, like that generation. Hey, now we have 4 young players in the Premier League already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think it's a gradual process, and I think I'm very confident about this team. But I don't know how they're gonna approach the game though.
Yeah, that's a different conversation altogether. Mm. I'm glad you like the team. I have just one more question, then we switch to original game, so that you are very busy, man. I don't want to keep you here for too long. Listen, dealing with not being called up to the national team, you've had your own share of dealing with that. It's a conversation that we've had many, many times, that the players, when you people are getting nearer the end of your careers, it becomes harder for you to accept that at this time maybe you shouldn't be in the national team.
I've never been in that situation before, that I've never been called to the national team.
That's why I didn't say you per se.
Unless
as Jan.
Or I say I'm not coming.
Yes. So not you, Jan, per se.
Thank you.
You've said you baby Jet. Relax that's for that one. Not there. But just the general issue. We've had that. I mean, and you've been in the team many times when players haven't been called into the national team, the reactions haven't been great. In fact, even with World Cup squads, players being left out, and what have you. How do you deal with that? And that question I ask because Otto himself is dealing with that right now. He was asked specifically about the reason he left out Andre Ayew. He said he had a long conversation with him. He went to France to meet him, spoke to him, and they did not agree that he should not be included in the squad, but it's his decision and he's made it. You've dealt with players a very long time when it comes to dealing with some of these things. What is the best approach to tell a player that you're not coming into the national team, or the best approach to not including a player in the national team?
That's the most difficult work about a coach.
It is.
When around this time, it's the most difficult
decision to make. But at the end of the day, the decision has been made. We are the, like a, like the dogs. He is the lion. You back, but I think the decision has been made already. You know, but what we have to do is support the team. For me, Andre has done so much for Ghana. Andre is, he started way back in 2007.
18 years.
You understand?
For the national
team. September to December, and he has been consistent in the national team. He has the most caps.
Yeah.
He's the most capped player.
He's a top five goal scorer.
And for me, I think the coach has made his decision. And for me personally, I played with Andre, and he has done everything for Ghana.
Yeah.
But this is the situation whereby we have to move on. You know, the coach has made his decision. Personally, if it was me, I wouldn't be happy, which is a normal thing. But at the end of the day, the coach has made his decision, so we have to just support. But we shouldn't forget Andre is already a legend.
Yeah. Basically. So, and that's why at this point, for example, if you had a chance to tell him something regarding this whole situation, what would you tell him? I'm talking about Andre.
I think he should take it in good faith. And I know he speaks to the players. The players respect him a lot. And if he has tips, he can call behind the scene and speak to the players. And I know that is going to happen. You know, sometimes I meet these players outside. I'll give them tips and stuff. But he might be angry due to his recent form.
Of course.
Because he felt like he had to be in the team. But the coach has made his decision. But I don't think Andre knows how to handle situation like this. Of course. He won't be happy for now, but as time goes on, it will be fine.
He'll come to terms with it. All right, very basically, everybody calling for, or many people calling for Andre Ayew to retire. We've done that to you too, so so for now I won't even go there because I know what it feels like. We do that to players all the time. Actually, I'll bring you in, but let me ask Baby Jet about his business over the last few months. The last time you were here, you spoke about the regional tour that you were going to go on. You've gone around the country. First off, tell us about what you've been up to in that period, what your experiences have been like, what has surprised you, what has excited you in that whole tour. Where have you been?
Wow, it's been great. You know, I didn't know.
You didn't know? I'm quite in your
home. I'll get to this stage. I got to a time, I told my brother, hey, I want to sleep. He said, hey, like as I said, you put yourself into this, so let's finish it.
Like a politician, like, you have to go everywhere.
Everywhere. And the reception was great. Like I was so happy.
Pictures, yeah.
Very, very happy about the reception. The people embraced the program and everything, you know. Yeah. So although we were tired, original games has been very, very successful within this month. Okay. The response, the registration, everything has been coming. You can see people want to support the event because it's something that we want to do it every year.
Yeah.
And to make it an institution, you know, to make sure all this generation will benefit from it. So our tour was very, very good. Okay. Very, very good. And we're looking forward for the other parts, which is maybe the Western.
Right. How many places?
Eight.
Have you,
eight so
you've
far.
You've been to eight regions so far.
Huh. Yeah, in less than 2 weeks.
Wow. So from that
hard guys, Charlie.
I want to find out from your trips around the country. Obviously, a lot of them are places you had never been to.
Yeah.
What were some of the fascinating things you discovered? Like any interesting things you found from your trip around the country that you want to share?
A lot. I had fun. I, for example, when we took the that mini boat to Karachi.
Yes. You know, over the Volta.
I met this XLR. Yeah, the ferry. Yeah, yeah. I met XLR. We had Kusiani Meku.
Oh yeah, you know, yeah. I saw that, pictures.
That experience. You know, the culture there. You know, the people there. Sometimes, and the green.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, vegetation. Huh?
Yeah, and when, for example, the northern region, you could see the land like
flat
like you
it's not mountainous, it's
you could see the land. I was like, whoa.
Yeah,
hey, so we've left all these things.
come and sit in Accra.
So it's one of my plans. Maybe I might try and
go up there and invest something.
Because the place is nice, nice, and they are very good people, nice people, you know, they embrace the event. And the interesting thing is most of the coordinators were volunteers, those who registered.
Yeah, really. Wow.
And then we employed them. We were like, okay, let's try.
That's right.
And they made everything. I was like, oh, okay.
Very smooth.
Oh, wow.
So at the end of the day, we created employment.
Yeah.
You did. So well done.
It's
well
all done. It's all part of the plan, and we're happy. We're happy to do that.
I'm very happy. I'm very happy the tour went well. Next time you go back to Wa, I'll arrange for you to go to Tumu.
That thing.
Hold on. There's no R. That's what you. he's afraid to say their name.
Yes.
He's afraid to say the name of the. That's my home. That is TUMU.
Yeah, because we are on radio, people are listening. They won't hear the. Maybe they might hear the R. And I waited all time. Uncanny.
Well. Tumu. It's Tumu. It's Tumu.
Ah, okay.
It's Tumu. Okay. Alright. People are registering. The reason for the tour is to whip up interest and educate people, let them understand what's going on. Let's go through the registration process. Do you have numbers to share with us? What is the reception been like regarding the registration? How can people still register? Are we close to the deadlines? Are the timelines?
When it comes to technicalities, they only tell me people are voting.
Okay.
People are
registering.
Yeah. But to details, I think.
Alfred. Alfred, do you have numbers?
Yeah, so far we have close to over 1,005.
Wow.
Yes.
1,500 exactly. Athletes and coaches have registered.
Yes, coaches and athletes.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a lot. Every day we get like on the average 10 registrations a day.
Okay.
Across the region.
How long is the registration going to run for?
So we've not given any timelines.
So people can still register.
Exactly.
Again, how do they do it? Let's go through the channels again.
First of all, you go onto the platform, which is www.allregionalgames.com.
Okay.
www.allregionalgames.com.
Okay.
So when you go, you follow the steps, you register.
Yes.
Before, we were requiring some ID cards.
Okay.
But now everything, it's off. So okay. You can go and register.
So that is easier.
It's easier. Mm. So you can go and register. The only thing is you'd have to pay 29.99 Ghana cedis.
So those of you listening, if anybody calls you and say they are doing original games registration, pay some fee, don't do it.
Exactly.
The only registration fee is 29.99. So basically, yeah. 30 Ghana.
30 cedis. And you have to do that on their portal.
On the portal.
Oh, you pay through the portal.
We've not assigned anybody anywhere
to collect money
on our behalf.
Very well.
Exactly.
Okay. And so far, what have people been saying about that? 30 cedis seems very affordable, no?
You know, sometimes people will go on the portal, they'll register. When they get to that bit, you know,
they leave it.
Probably the 30 cedis is in the pocket. You want to go and buy banku. You get it. So, Obamin Kombra, let me go and come. And when you get the 30 cedis, probably some watching or somebody day one corner.
Yeah.
But people still come back. Okay. There are those who still come back. They leave the space and come back and finish.
And then continue.
And complete, yep.
Yeah, because you can see all that in the back end.
Exactly.
Yep.
You know, those exactly. who are finishing, those who have yes. created accounts are yet to finish.
Yes.
Baby J, what about, I mean, obviously you are a football person, but you're doing so many other sporting disciplines. When you go around the country, how much interest are people showing in all the other disciplines?
Yeah, it's been great. But honestly, so far, for what I've seen, I think people are more interested in the football aspect. Yeah.
Of course, I mean, it's Ghana. Goes without
yes.
saying.
But this is where the original game comes in. We shouldn't. I'm a football player, right? So I want to see football players. We want to help football players. But what about the other sports disciplines?
Yeah.
I feel like they've been sidelined too much.
Yeah, it's not a feeling.
Yeah.
Before you came here, we're talking about boxing.
My observation. So it's like, okay, now original games is coming. I have to start training. You know, because most of them already giving up in the sport.
Yeah.
They want to go on other things.
Yeah.
But when they see the original games, they're like, okay, I'm rusty, but
good opportunity.
I need like 2 months to just come back in shape. Yeah, and I feel like this first edition we're gonna see some a bit rustiness, but the next one,
of course,
is gonna be good. It's like we bringing people out from their shell, to participate, you know. So we'll be fine. I'm sure we'll be fine. We just want to help, and I believe in grassroots, you know, to start from the scratch, you know, build something, and then when you see them at the top, you're like, okay, this was
good foundation.
Thank you.
And also, you know, you mentioned the numbers over 1,000. Do you know the breakdown in terms of how many are male, how many are females? A lot of females are showing interest as well, no?
Definitely. Yeah. But when it comes to numbers, I'll be mistaken, Alfred, if I give numbers.
With the numbers for the women are not encouraging.
Okay, so you want to encourage
them? Exactly. Mm. We want everybody out there to know that it's both for female and male. We know in Ghana when we say sports, it's only the men.
Yeah.
But now we saw the ladies. Is it the Black Princesses? Mm-hmm. See what they did at the All African Games. And we want people to know that all regional games is a mini Olympics for Ghana.
Yeah.
For the regions.
It is. I mean, listen, you mentioned that 1,000 people have registered already. Mm-hmm. We are not anywhere near the games. The African Games have like 3,000 athletes, I believe. So you almost already have half of that number.
Yeah.
For just Ghana alone. So that is a ridiculously high number already. Do you have a target?
We want everybody. Okay. We really don't the target. The target is for every youth, every person who is interested in sports, who wants to see his talent shining up there, representing Ghana, to be a part of this.
Okay.
Both men and women.
So, all right. For the, you know, one thing I like about radio or television media is that at any given time, there's always a new listener. For anyone who is just listening to us talk about the original games for the first time, give us a sense of just a basic summary of what it is, what the crucial dates are, and what's next. Because after here, you have a lineup of activities as well. Jan is going to go to us, so I'll ask him where he's going next. But just give us a quick breakdown of what we're dealing with.
All right, the original games, is a mini Olympic Games, like the All African Games, where we see the regions, all the 16 regions competing against themselves, each other.
Okay.
In the game of boxing, arm wrestling, lawn tennis, table tennis, athletics, para-athletics, football, of course, volleyball, basketball, and esports.
Oh, wow.
You get it. So these are the disciplines. So you would find the basketball team of the Volta region facing the basketball team of the Central region.
Okay.
You'll find the basketball team of the Upper West. Cool. Is that where you come from?
Yes.
Okay. Competing against the...
People don't know the difference between Upper West and Upper East.
Exactly. Upper East is Borga.
Yes.
And Upper West is Wa.
You have done well.
Because we went there.
Yeah. That's it.
I think we have about 19 women
who have registered.
We need more. And I'll apologize for that, because we didn't even specify whether it was
male or woman. So the communication wasn't clear.
Yeah, communication, sometimes we just say it normally, but we should have specified.
So female footballers, female volleyball players, female
media, I want the female So
it's very important.
So we want a female.
Men are trash. Men are scum.
The question is based in Bangkok.
It's male and female. Yeah. It's male and female. So my female
friends,
go and register.
That's
quick.
Right.
Quick action.
It is the regions competing against each other in this sporting discipline. So what we've got into so far now, we are still doing the awareness tour.
Right.
We've done 8 regions. Okay. We are left at 8.
Okay.
Next week we'll be doing Western and Central.
Okay.
Then we follow up with the Ahafos and
the other side.
The main launch is on the 29th of June in Kumase.
Okay. The main launch for the event.
Is
29th
on
June.
Wow. In Kumase.
Yes. Okay.
Immediately after the trials will begin.
Nice.
Because plans change.
Of course.
Yeah. So with 29th, it's locked up. You know, we had to make sure all the dignitaries who might not be available might be there, so we have to go by everybody's time to make sure the event becomes a successful one. And so far, I'll say the people who are coming up, I'll be like, all the regional ministers from the 16 regions will come.
Oh wow, for the launch.
Yes. We've invited a couple of ministers, a couple of businessmen, the fans, of course. And also, we want to show the culture of all the regions, you know, for Ghanaians to see the
so
culture they
cultural
have.
Cultural display.
There'll be cultural display.
Oh, nice.
And also, there'll be citations of these legends who have been forgotten.
From those regions.
From those regions. Yeah. Because they've done a lot for Ghana. And sometimes somebody can be somewhere who has done a lot for the sports, but we don't recognize them.
Yeah, he could even be a coach.
Yes. And sometimes they are there, they'll be doing but at least if we have some citations for them to recognize them, for Ghanaians to see what they've done in the country, I think it's a good thing. And honestly, we're planning to do something very well for Ghana, and we want to fill the stadium, you know. So it's the gate free is free.
Where is the launch happening?
At the Babayaro
Sports Stadium. Babayaro Sports Stadium. Okay. So is the launch
free gate
to fill
free
the stadium?
Yes. Free gate.
Oh, nice.
Free gate.
Okay. Quick. Is an evening event or afternoon or?
No, it will start the time for, but it's generally
not
the
confirmed
day.
Yet.
Yeah, yeah. It's a day thing.
That would be something, huh?
But it's a day thing. So definitely.
It will run into the
So definitely we will put
the flyer out
there.
Information.
Okay. All right. So I mean that's amazing because I'm particularly looking forward to the launch. If I don't send Cranton, he'll kill me.
Don't worry, we'll take care of him.
Okay. Yeah. Add him to your entourage. Take him away.
Quick.
He's my man. I will take him.
I didn't congratulate him. I think you have a new show, right?
Tomorrow.
Yes. No, baby Jet. Yeah. You see, you have to come and help your man launch the show tomorrow.
I'll
it's the first time he's hosting a show.
Congrats.
So you can come and open the show for us tomorrow.
You have our support. He's been a good guy.
Yes.
You know, when you are a good guy, this is how you reap what you sow.
Yes.
Thank you. So we are all here to support him.
Yes.
Thank you.
Maybe he's saying all of that without committing to tomorrow.
Tomorrow, you can come and premiere the show.
I'll come.
15 minutes.
You come in.
8 a.m.
8 a.m. Let's wait next week.
So next week.
All right.
We'll do the flyer.
Okay, good. We'll amazing.
You come.
Baby Jet, anything else you want to add about the All Regional Games? Remember here, we are the only ones who sat here and promised you support. So when you reach out, we have to deliver.
Yeah.
So anything else we should know?
We still want more people to register.
All right.
Go on www.allregionalgames.com. Just register. And let the trials be very strong, because we need more people to make sure we can sieve it a bit and then compete in November, because November people want to see quality, people want to see what we have done in the all regions. So, and I'm sure the committee members in all the regions will make sure they do a good job, and that is what we are trying to do. And so what I'll say to people is we should support all regional games, because we want to do this every year, and all the corporate organization, we need sponsorships and everything, should make sure we are more flexible and not think too much and have doubts that should we continue or not.
Yeah.
Whether we will continue, but that's what I'm saying, we should support our own
with support, you know, it's easier
to make sure everything goes well.
What I'm going to do is that I'm asking you who is listening to us right now, if you have a question around the original game, send it to me, 055-111-1997. If you have another question or even on something on the Black Stars or whatever you want to ask, 055-111-1997. I'm going to take a really short break. When we come back, I'll take those questions. So if you have a question, do send it to right now for Baby Jet, because he's a busy man. He has to go. 055-111-1997. Send me that message. If you have a question around the original games, Alfred is here as well. They can answer all those questions for you. 055-111-1997. Do stay with us. Remember, the game plan on 99.7 Joy FM is brought to you by Petrosol, also live on 103.9 Hits FM. Remember, with Petrosol, every drop matters, just as every penny counts. And know that good quality fuel enhances your vehicle performance and reduces maintenance costs. So take no risk in times like this. All you need is value for your money. So look no further. Drive to the next Petrosol fuel station for your accurate, clean, quality fuel suitable for new technology vehicle. So be a happy customer, fill with smiles, drive more miles, and save some money. Remember, Petrosol is your clean, quality fuel in full quantity. Petrosol, always a delightful experience. Do stay with us. It's also live on Hits 103.9 FM. Let me tell you about the legend of Acoustica. After a record 13 runs of Ola Rotimi's The Gods Are Not to Blame, Image Bureau, April Communications, and the National Theatre have reconvened for another theatrical adventure. This June, dive deep into the heart of Ghanaian theatre as Na Ashoko makes her directing debut with the legend of Acoustica in honor of the writer, Professor Martin Owusu. Book a seat now for a mind-boggling experience, mind-blowing, dramatic experience with some of the finest talents in the business. There's Mauli, Semevo, Andrew Tando Adote, Edinam Atache, Elvis Crystal, Adol Asamoah Beidou. And for the first time on stage, Adoma will also be there. So come, let's celebrate the legendary Professor Martin Owusu on Saturday 1st, Sunday 2nd, Saturday 8th, and Sunday 9th of June at 4 p.m. and 8 p.m. each day at the National Theatre. Tickets are selling fast for only 200 Ghana cedis at www.imagebureaugh.com or dial *714*11*21#. *714*11*21#. The legend of Acoustica is supported by the Ghana Tourism Authority, Knee Plants Ghana, Knee Plants Car Rentals, MGL Logistics, Joy FM, Hits FM, Joy Prime, Daily Guide, Graphic Communications Group, and proudly brought to you by Stanbic Bank, Telesale, and the National Lottery Authority. The legend of Acoustica Theatre doesn't get better than this. And Nana Kwame Bediako says, I should tell you that if you are tired of the same old political rhetoric and believe it's time for change that truly represents the voices of our youth, women, and children, then he is the presidential candidate who is not just promising change, but actively working to make it happen. Nana Bediako is not your typical politician, he says. He's a visionary leader with a passion for making our country better through innovative industrial revolution. Together, we can change the political narrative, he says, and create a government that truly represents the interests of all citizens. So he's asking you and all of us to join him on this journey to build a better and inclusive future for all by contributing to the Save Ghana Fund campaign. You support, or your support, no matter the amount, is not just a donation. It's an investment in the shared desire for a more prosperous, equitable, and better nation. You can go to his website, www.nkb.com.gh, or dial *887*2024# to donate. Thank you for your support. All right, Baby Jets, the legendary Ghanaian footballer, is here with us. Ghana's all-time top scorer, talking All Africa Games, the event that he's pioneering, bringing 16 regions together in Accra in November to compete in as many as 9 sporting disciplines. And, you know, it's a great event. He's currently on a nationwide tour, sensitization tour, bringing people closer to the event. He's gone to 8 regions and is looking forward to the next 8. I've asked you to send us messages and let us know if you have any questions for him. And I've got some of them so that he can address them and then he can go. Mark from North Carnation says, I'm really happy about the original games. I'm hoping with time we can do it for all secondary schools in every region as well. We can crown all regional games in March every year since it's our Ghana month. Baby Jeff, that's an interesting suggestion. Interschools was one of the things that you enjoyed growing up. Now the thing is on way.
Yeah. I think it's a good suggestion. So yeah. we'll put it in our plans.
Yeah.
You might never know.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's a good suggestion.
Jamaica call it champs. They call it the champs. School, yeah. The champs. The high schools, they bring them together. And it's the biggest sporting event in Jamaica.
Yes.
Secondary school sport. It's crazy.
Yes.
And you've seen Intercourt Super Zonals. It's still massively patronized. These days, I can't even keep up with the semesters and the terms.
I think now that social media is there, it should be even bigger. Because
that's right.
Those times, there wasn't social media. Nobody sees. Mm-hmm. But now that there's social media, everybody sees what is going on. I don't see why we can do it better. We can.
I agree with you. Danny K, which time is this? If you know.
Sorry, I don't know. The thing has changed. I don't know.
It has changed. Karim, which people have gone to change my screen? Where's thank you. You sit there, you'll be pressing the thing anyhow. If you press the thing again, you see. All right, cool. This one says, Fenn, kindly ask Baby Jet. I want him to tell us how he sees the current Blasters in compared to his time. Judas Iscariot. Teshi's Trivle.
What is that?
What kind of name is that? I think he's answered that question. Every generation is different, right? he says he doesn't like comparing teams.
It's about a debate. You don't find a winner in a debate. The people know themselves.
You have See the way you have answered the question.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
It's true.
You can't tell yourself you won the debate.
Yeah.
Let the audience be the judge.
Yeah.
Perfect response. So. Perfect one. All right. So this one says, I want to ask, as an upcoming lawn tennis player, can I also register for Baby Jet's original games? Because I just tuned in. Adri from Kofia Technical University is listening to us.
There you go. And we're coming, we're going to the Eastern region as well. And for my information, they are waiting for us. And we will go there. And it's good. Maybe it's his time to shine. He listened to our program. And then he just tuned in and registered, you know. So thank you for inviting us, because it's been wonderful. We need you guys and you also need us.
That's right.
And for now, somebody has listened to game plan. That's right. And then the person has gone to register.
That's right.
You know,
so tennis is one of them, and Jan in particular is very excited about the tennis players.
Yes, of course.
Because you came with a tennis player here. I've seen you play him many times.
And one thing I want to add is you know, personal friends, you know, artists who are organic supporting the event.
Yeah,
they just love the
you mentioned Stoneboy the last
time. Stoneboy said, oh, he called me and was like, hey Azza, let's pray my time, but I'll come and support.
That's right.
When Diche is also supporting.
They should come and perform at the launch. Fancy Gada.
When we went to the Northern Region, you see he was also having the touch. He will also come and support. You know, it's not about... The artist is an artist. Sometimes there are some events that they charge. You know, come and charge and do whatever they want to do. But they see this as a good initiative. You know, they want to just support. You know, so they just call us, oh yeah, we'll do it. Oh, don't worry, we'll support you. You've done a lot for the nation, you are bringing back, you know, we want to. So people are supporting
people, and people have to be like game plan. Because you two, ordinarily, if we are promoting event, we charge. Yeah. Baby Jet, we don't charge. You can't charge Baby Jet. How can we charge Baby Jet? You see, you know, our boss texts me right now, safe.
Yes, even my guy Shatta, I've been talking to him. You know, he's been also busy, but he also loved the initiative. And
we have to encourage, we have to support. And he gave a lot to this country. Yeah. The country, it's time for the country to give back.
Yes, that is where sometimes
people get it wrong. Eh?
Yeah, you know, we have to just support the event. It's not something for Baby Jet or for original games. It's all for Ghana, I've been very, very patriotic to this country. Yeah. No matter what, me when I'm doing something, I don't see the people inside. That Ghana thing, Ghana.
That is it.
You know, I just do it for Ghana.
That's right.
You know, that is
will unearth talent. It's already creating jobs, and we are very happy to be partners. Let me take more questions because the time is already there. 1 hour has flown by like we're not here. Ni Tojo from New Tamanito says, as Ghanaians, we love our sports and we will support and criticize the team positively. I think he's talking about the Black Stars. This one also says, good afternoon, I'm Pep, Bedroom Pep Guardiola from Ontario, Canada. I will be very disappointed if Ghana doesn't qualify for the World Cup. I can't wait to see them play here in Canada or the US. The atmosphere inside the stadium will be crazy. Just imagine you, Danny K, Sichu, and your sweet wives watching Ghana versus Argentina live at the stadium here. And Jordan scores the winning goal. Chale, goosebumps all over. Hey, Pep Room. The guy was texting us from La Paz.
Yeah, La Paz.
Oh, 2 weeks later, he's texting us from Canada. yes, Papa Z says, please ask Baby Jed how the atmosphere was in Cannes when he missed that penalty. I think that story has been told many times. yes, tears everywhere. Lord in OEB says, you get a lot from game plan, sports, education, facts, and entertainment all in one. I missed last week and I couldn't afford to miss this week. Shout out to everybody from Tumu. Lord, thank you very much for that message. Baby Jed doesn't like saying the name. Please ask Baby Jed. Okay, I've seen that. This one says, hello, friend. Great show by all stands. Baby Jed is doing well. I pray everything goes well with this project. And you say, as for UCL final, I'm sure Real Madrid will clinch the 15th. The mood in town is positive here in Madrid. Please, where's Gary? We miss him. Gary is there. Apollo 15. Hala Madrid. Dale. Texting us from Madrid, Spain. So maybe, Baby Jay, you have to promote the original games outside Ghana. You see where the messages are coming from?
Yes, who?
Toronto.
Everywhere.
Madrid. And since. Hello, guys. Good afternoon. How do I get in touch with Alfred, Asmajan's guy? Thanks. That's from Rec in Accra. I guess he wants to be a partner, so he wants a phone call. So we'll reply to that with Alfred's number. So don't worry. We'll get it to you. All right. Another message here. Lots of them, actually. Somebody said we should wish someone a happy birthday. I'm very kind, so I'll do it. He says, happy birthday to the baby last of our family, Jonathan Te Kwame Samuel. He's the CEO of J Swim Consult. All right, God bless you. Happy birthday to you, Jonathan. This one said, the Blaster squad is solid, but what does Baby Jet have to say about the branding guy, Sam from Jericho? You saw the new striker that was added.
Brandon Thomas Asante.
Have you watched him?
I watched his goals. But I haven't watched a full game about him. But I think the scouts were those who watched him, and they think he fits into the team. You know? So let's wait and see. We have to just support.
Yeah.
Sometimes you call players to the national team, and then they come and perform. You know, so we have to just support every player who is in the team.
Kwesi Appiah, right? He was playing in the third division.
Yeah.
So we there called him to the AFCON and we went all the way to the final.
Yeah.
So sometimes, yeah. Fentu Abego is the place. Hey, Massa. Massa. Yeah, Chris. What kind of question is
can
that?
Can you read that?
I can't read it.
Please read it.
I can't read it. Baby Jet, I can't read it.
I want to hear it.
you know, my hometown is Tumu. There's no R. Yes. Maybe he's encouraging this thing.
We'll have to put you in
this one says, all right then, please, once again, how can I register? Alfred, once again. No, actually, I don't need Alfred. Go to allregionalgames.com and then register. If you're an athlete, a player, you see the different sporting disciplines are there. You register as a tennis player and boom, you're gone.
And friends, let me add this. Mm-hmm. Previously, we had an age limit for all the disciplines. All
right.
But now the age limit is only for football.
Okay.
That is 18 to 23.
Okay.
But the rest of the games, it's open. Ah. 18 and above. Yeah.
18 and above.
Exactly.
Because you want Achitama Clothes to register for
yes,
the tennis.
Yes, actually. Because you might find somebody like 40 years who is still actually playing
and wants to play. Yeah, I agree. In fact, the African games, we went to bring back a retired soldier. He's 40 something. Come and
did
play volleyball.
Volleyball. Fent, did you see the relief on his face? He doesn't have to use football age.
Oh, you mean actually?
Yeah. Don't age cheating.
So that is it.
Fent, please tell him he's a Jet. So when he's talking, so what he's talking about, who wouldn't want to get on board? Oh, okay. So he said you are a Jet. So who wouldn't want to get on board with your program? Everybody. If not of the betrayal of Jesus. Judas guy. Alright, let me take one more message and then I ask a question about Champions League and we wrap it up. Please, I would like to volunteer. Can I get in touch with Baby Jet's team? Sure, we'll send you Alfred's number and then you see how you can volunteer. This Saturday, we have about 2 minutes to wrap up, but we have Champions League coming up. It's a big game. Real Madrid are chasing a 15th. Borussia Dortmund are chasing a second. Jan, what is it gonna be?
It looks like it's going to Madrid's way. It looks like, I always talk on paper, statistically.
Yeah.
It looks like they have more experience when it comes to final. Mm-hmm. And hopefully when we see the upset, it's gonna be a great news in world football, which everybody wants to see something
dramatic. I want to see that. Yes.
Everybody wants to see something dramatic. But I still think Madrid has got more experience in this game, but football here now you can't predict.
You can't predict. You can't predict. Like the way half of all are going on
the relegation. The chances of Dortmund is slim.
Yeah. Very very slim.
Very very slim. But you could see it's not a fluke. They did what they had to do to get to the final. So I'll give Madrid the edge. But we also want to be happy when we see any upset.
Yeah, fair enough. Maybe, yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. It's an absolute pleasure, as usual. We enjoyed our time with you. Every time you come here, this is probably the show you have the most fun. I know it.
Because I'm more relaxed.
Yeah, I know it. Thank you for coming. We also have to acknowledge that Bafo was here. Bafo doesn't like to talk, but thank you, legend, for coming as well. Alfred, thank you very much. Thank you, Achu. As of folk, going on relegation if they don't win tonight.
They are not going on relegation, please.
Okay, fine. So they have to win tonight.
Yes,
we are not going on relegation.
Thank you, Daniel, as well. Thank you all. We're back again next Friday with another edition of Game Plan, brought to you by Patriot Soul. My name is Fentu Tahiru Fentu. I appreciate you all for listening. We're back again next Friday. Until then, take care and bye-bye.